Hi, Carm Capriotto here, and in just a bit, you'll hear some great podcasting moments and inspiring stories about the devotion to a working partnership, both at work and at home. Here's a taste.
Once, and I think you mentioned it earlier, is once you find out what your gifts are, what your strengths are, what you're good at, what you're not good at, it's so amazing that we have this balance. So what he's not good at, I am. What I'm not good at, he is.
We're very similar to that.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hey, Carm here, and welcome to another special interview from Apex 2018. I'm with two couples, shop partners, who share their story on how they've made it work as they persisted with the patience, hardships, struggles, fulfillment, and the joy of owning and managing a business as a husband and wife tandem. Hey, thanks to Federal Mogul Motor Parts for the support of the Remarkable Results Radio podcast. Now remember, when you need to search for parts or get the latest technical updates, even sign up for the Garage Rewards and Tech Loyalty Program, because you want to earn some swag, go to fmmotorparts.com. With me in this episode is Judy and Dana Haglin of Haglin Automotive, Boulder, Colorado, along with Kim and Rob Auerenheimer of CS Automotive in Brentwood, Tennessee. They will share their experiences running a shop together with their life partners. Did you get to Apex this year? If you were there or not, check out our photos page with pics from Apex 2018. A lot of people want to know how to listen while they're mobile. So if you've not subscribed to a podcast listening app, it's very easy. You can find at least a dozen apps listed on the apps page on my website, or download my own listening app from your app store on iOS or Android. Search for Remarkable Results Radio, download it, and all the episodes are there. Hey, I'm giving away some podcast collector swag from the podcast again in December 2018, and you can enter to get some. In this episode, you'll hear the December password. Enter it at remarkableresults.biz/swag for your chance. We've got a collector's coffee mug and a great mouse pad for you. Hey, now for a special treat, an interview with the Auerenheimers and the Haglins. It was an honor to have them at the Apex 2018 studios as they shared their devotion and partnership as business owners. They were very open, honest, and transparent. Great stuff here. And they've come to a time in their careers and relationship that they want to give back to the industry. They make their marriage and partnership sound simple. However, as you'll hear, there was a learning curve in their path to harmony. We'll learn how they brought out the best in each other while improving their businesses and continuously making each other better. Find the couple's bios, links to previous interviews, and the episode's talking points at remarkableresults.biz/E386. Enjoy a reality boost like you get only here at Remarkable Results Radio. Enjoy. Hey, Carm here at Apex again. Another great interview, and I'm so excited about this one. Kim and Rob Auerenheimer from CS Automotive in Brentwood. Say hello, Kim.
Hello, everybody.
Rob.
Hey, everybody.
And I have Judy and Dana Haglin from Haglin Automotive in Boulder, Colorado.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
And you've both been on the show before. I interviewed you guys, the Haglins, at Vision. I think it was 2 years ago. Great interview.
Sounds
it was a
right.
lot of fun. Rob, this is your first time. Thank you for being here. I know that you got lubed up just before you came here. That's really good.
That was the plan, but it didn't happen. So you're in trouble.
Good. And Kim, you've been a great contributor to the show, so thank you very much. Every podcast I do, I look for a thread of something that will help the industry. And when I thought about getting you guys together at my first roundtable, husband and wives, we want to know how it works. I'm sure it's not the smoothest thing like soft butter. I'm sure there are challenges. And we're in Small Business America, the automotive aftermarket. And there are a ton of husband and wives in it. There's also a lot of husbands in it and wives not, but the wife's really in it.
There's always that.
You bet.
Whether she likes it or not.
Yeah, even if you're not working in the business. So, is it important to know your partner and their strengths and their weaknesses and their communication to make a partnership like this work?
Rob and I have been married. We're coming up on 25 years. And I joined the business about just shy of 8 years ago. And I thought I knew my husband after 17 years of being married to him. And when began to work with him, I realized I have no idea who he is, because the Rob at work and the Rob at home are two different people. And so it was kind of eye-opening and shocking. So there's a lot of adjustments, because now I know him, the work Rob, the businessman Rob. And so that was quite challenging.
You didn't change one iota, right, Rob?
No.
All right. That's fair. It really is. So when you came in the business and saw the work Rob, did you think, oh, my God, I've got a whole new person to learn?
Very intense. I didn't realize how intense he is at work and how passionate he is about what he does. So with and at home, you know, he's dad. He's a you know, great dad, a great husband. So he's very, you know, it's different. It's just passionate and intense versus, you know, cool dad.
But that passion that you saw at work, did that drive your integration into the company?
It actually scared the heck out of me. So it but yes, it did. And so I'm very passionate, and he's very passionate. And so it was interesting to see him in this, in that environment. And
Judy, Dana, did you guys gravitate together? Did you start the business together? How'd it work?
No, we started the business, this is, we're going on 38, I guess. Years.
38 years?
Yeah, 81 is when we started.
Congratulations.
And I started the business because, well, I graduated with a saxophone performance degree and needed to do something to make money. And rather than working nights and that kind of thing, didn't see that as a really good future. So I opened it, and my intention was to run it for a couple of years and then go to work in the industry, maybe for, you know, the manufacturers. My older brother had done that. And so that's kind of the path I was looking towards. And Judy, we had got married, started the business a month later.
Judy went to work for
McDonald's.
Did everyone hear that?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a big...
You got married and you started the business a month later.
Well, we graduated college, then we got married, yeah. Then we started the business.
I think
all
you talked about that
half,
on your original show. That's bold. That's big.
Yeah. Yep. And then Judy was with McDonald's for about 3 years in management, and then... that she decided that she'd want to do that anymore, and then came out and worked with me.
That's a way to get to know each other real quick, isn't it?
Yeah, real quick.
What is the big, you know, one of the most important things is you got to know each other. Why is that so important, Judy?
Well, you've really got to know what, how do I put that? What buttons to push, what buttons not to push. You want to know how and when you want to approach things. Dana and I have, through ATI, we've done it's a bird test, we call it a behavioral test, it gives you the four quadrants, and that was probably one of the most powerful things we did as far as communication, because he's an owl, which is that engineer mechanic, I'm an eagle, I'm the driver, I'm the crazy person that keeps it going all the time, and I'm a fast-paced person, he's a slow-paced person, so if I said, hey, let's do this, he's thinking, okay, we're going to stop the car, we're on the way to work, Judy's going to do this. And that's not what I was saying. I was really saying, let's think about it. So I've learned to change verbiage of, okay, you, Dana, think about this. When you're ready and you've mulled it over, then let's talk about it, and then we'll make a decision or put a plan together. And that seemed to have helped that whole process.
But the conflict in our different speeds of how we do things, we had to overcome that. And once we learned that, it makes a lot of sense. She does what she does well, I do what I do well, and it works together very well.
It's amazing how that works.
Know why you install Felpro, the gaskets professionals trust? Every part that goes into a Felpro box is validated and approved by a Felpro engineer. Product testing and validation is an integral part of Felpro's engineering, manufacturing, and field testing, where vehicles undergo tests that log over 1 million miles every year. They also reach out to you, the pro, through technology blogs and their technical forums to listen, learn, and keep in touch with you. It's amazing to think that Felpro produces over 325,000 gaskets per day. That's 325,000 per day in their 1 million square foot facility in Skokie, Illinois. Under the same roof, engineering and manufacturing uphold Felpro quality utilizing 4,500 active production tools with tooling tolerances to 5 microns. Now that's smaller than a human hair. A tight tolerance like that ensures the sealing ability of Felpro gaskets. And their own in-house chem lab develops proprietary formulations like PermaDry Plus to produce 35,000 molded rubber sealing components every day. Plus, with Felpro, you get coverage from 1955 of 96% of all domestics and 93% of all import vehicles. So feel confident that with new engines and new technologies, Felpro will be there with innovative solutions to solve your customers' sealing problems. Felpro, the gaskets professionals trust. Go to felpro-only.com for more information. You've always counted on Moog to keep you ahead of the pack when it comes to chassis innovation. Well, they've done it again. Most recently launched is the Moog ball joint with a pre-installed integral dust boot. It's designed exclusively for compression-loaded suspension systems, providing superior strength and durability for these types of vehicle applications. The dust boot is made from higher-strength materials and comes pre-installed, saving you time because it's easier to install. It also has a larger contact area against the stud, which makes a more effective seal. For your customers, the unit uses Moog's powdered metal gusher bearing that provides longer life and controlled radial and axial movement. You get the industry's leading coverage of 10,000 SKUs, including 4,600 for foreign applications. Hey, you've been installing Moog confidently for years, and now you know why. Carm here. I'm stopping for just a moment. Now, in our December swag contest, the password is wisdom. Go to remarkableresults.biz/swag. Use the password wisdom and enter to win a collector's coffee mug and a mouse pad. The drawing will happen the first week of January 2019.
When Kim came into the business, I am very intense, and that has, it's actually been a blessing that it's still work in progress, but she helps with that balance at work to keep me from getting just too wound up on stuff. It's been a great balance of, she knows when I shouldn't be talking to the customers, maybe it's been
now
a tough
day.
How
does she alert you to that?
I drag him by the back of the shirt, and no, I'm kidding.
No, does she like pull her ear and say,
she'll give me a wink, tap me under the table, or just or say I got this, you know. And
do you feel bad about that?
Feel bad?
Yeah, do you feel bad that she's dragging you away from talking to a customer because she knows
sometimes
you're going left
I'm
or right?
Sometimes I'm so passionate that I want to talk to this person, but 9 times out of 10, it was probably best that I needed that cooling off period to think about things a little better. And there was one just recently that did not go well when I powered my way through. Just did not go well. So that was a good learning experience.
I think that the point you bring up, though, is really key, because Dana has a tendency to just dig in. He's that technician. He wants to explain.
I like to over-explain, and their eyes roll back in their head. And,
yeah, so we have that conversation. And if I go up to him and I'm going, and I do the cutoff sign, or it's time, or whatever, or that back to, I'm sure that you do, you go in and say, hey, can I help you, or what can you do? But knowing what your partner's strengths are, as well as what your partner's weaknesses are huge. There are times where Dana and I'll have a conversation, it's okay, do you take that phone call, or do I take that phone call? And we'll go through that emotional conversation. Let's say it's a bad Yelp review. We all know what those are like. You get that emotion, and it's like, oh, my Lord. Then you go through the emotion thing. You, what am I going to do? How am I going to respond? Then you get down. You go, okay, what's the best decision for the business? Mm-hmm. You take the high road, and then you say, okay, who's going to write it? Who's going to proof it? And how do you go from there?
I'm listening to you, Judy, and it's like you guys are a mirror image of us. So I'm assuming, were you a technician before you started the
business? Yes.
Yes, and so
well,
was Rob.
Well, I wasn't before I started the business, but I was the technician.
Okay, you were the tech. So you have that technician mindset.
Yeah.
You're going to go in there, you're going to figure out what it is and solve
it. That's our job.
And sometimes to a fault. And Judy and I probably come at the other way, and I'm very fast. Rob's a slower decision maker, or he's got to test it. We've done the disc, and I'm a total DI, and he broke it. He's probably more. He needs to retake it because he was in the bullseye. But I'm sure he's more of a C personality, going to overanalyze everything and analyze and check and make sure. Where I'm more like just to jump in and fix something or do something, and if it doesn't work, then we're going to tweak and adjust. So that was hard coming into the business. That was where it's hard, because I wanted to come in and I wanted to fix it. And I wanted to protect him because he does get so passionate and he's so emotional and he's so emotionally invested in the business, our employees, and our customers, that I wanted to come in and fix everything. And that was probably the worst thing for me coming into a business that he started full time is I wanted to come in and be a hero, and yet I didn't know what I was, you know, how to fix it. And I wasn't sure that he would let me. And so over the years with some of our, you know, other people that we've gotten to know that are married in the industry, have been able to work through that and learn. And I think a lot of it, too, is once, and I think you mentioned it earlier, is once you find out what your gifts are, what your strengths are, what you're good at, what you're not good at, it's so amazing that we have this balance. So what he's not good at, I am. What I'm not good at, he is.
We're very similar to that.
Dana, can you imagine doing this alone?
No. I don't know how people do it alone. Without that, whether it's a partner, in our case, obviously husbands and wives, one person is good at one thing, the other is good at something else, and together we make a really good business owner. To do it by yourself, there are not enough hours in the day to get it all done without that extra support. I mean, certainly there's conflict, but there's a whole lot more support than conflict. So to have that partner is huge.
Agree, Judy?
Absolutely. I would agree. There are times when, and Dana and I are, you know, we've been doing it for 38 years, so we're looking at what's that exit plan look like?
Yeah.
And how do you get, you know, a good enough staff to do the things you do? And we've talked about, okay, so you get hit by the car today and I'm on my own. What are the steps that I'm going to make? And I have to find that good technician in the back that's going to go and make, as my technicians, they come up and say, we need Jesus, we need a miracle in the back, and you come and help us. And Dana goes, okay, and goes back. It was funny, he had one, we were at a meeting, and he says, oh, I got to go. So he runs back there, he goes, I just looked at it, and it fixed it. I have no idea what I did, but
it
worked.
It happens often.
Intervention.
Exactly.
I mean, divine intervention.
Yes.
Rob, as the lead mastermind of your company, has divine intervention ever helped you solve a problem?
Everything's about prayer and I always said that, you know, God has a sense of humor if he put me in charge of anything, because it's just, I just like to work on cars and people get in the way sometimes, you know. I like to do my thing. If things get rough, I just know to work harder, you know. You shovel twice as much. That's all I know how to fix things. So it was a blessing when my wife came in, because the business was more of a hobby, really, than, because I didn't know anything about business at all. And she came in, and you know, I didn't know best practices of anything. It was just winging it from one lift in the middle of a warehouse. So it was a blessing when she came
in. So you were the launch point for really a major turnaround.
We were at a point in the business where he started off in the back of a warehouse, got one lift, and eventually had three. And then we moved to a legitimate shop, which was a three-lift, four-bay shop. So we were kind of at a point where if we were ready to take the business, the shop, to the next level, it was, we were going to have to hire somebody and to do the business side of it, because like you said, you know, I want to fix cars and people get in my way. And
that's so when you came in.
That's when I came in. Is either we were going to close the business because we were a hamster in a wheel just going round and round and not getting anywhere. And so we were either going to shut it down or give it one more go. And so I quit my career and came over.
Rob, take me to the day that you guys made this decision. Did you say, hey, Kim, come on in? Or did Kim, did you want to say, let me come in, but you weren't sure how he was going to react? How did that go?
I was very uncertain when she started. I was just very nervous about it, and I thought it was going to be a lot of conflict. There was friction, but mostly it was from a couple employees that thought they ran the place, and they had no place for her to come in and no respect for her to come in. That was probably the hardest thing there. And then it took a while for us to learn how to interact with each other and for me to be more respectful and of her needs rather than just passionately just forcing stuff through. Never look back. And
I saw
her coming in.
Judy, I saw you smile.
When I was working for McDonald's, I did that for 3 years. Then I went through the management program, so I had process procedures. I got that down perfect. Stress got to me, and I just came home and said, honey, I just quit. He just went, but I'm only taking grocery money home. I said, well, we're going to make it work.
The change to where everything's dependent on the shop that was a big step, and it was scary.
It was very scary. It was very scary for poor little Dana. I came in and I went through and looked at all the returns. I made $75 my first day, returned all the stuff. I was on a roll, and we've never really looked back.
No.
But that change, earlier we had talked about change, I think is the scariest thing. when you go and you want to change something, and that's that partnership of how are you going to make that change? What are the steps you're going to do, and how are you going to proceed forth?
All right, let's go into negotiations, because I think when you go to a class or you get an idea, if you were a solopreneur, you make the decision, right or wrong. Maybe you get some advice. You own that decision. Now, as partners in the business, can both of you walk us through some ideas as to how you get those decisions made and implemented together?
Well, there's changes that you make because that's the right thing to do, and you trust the other person that, okay, I get it.
They got your back.
Yeah. Okay. And then there's those changes that you go, wow, really? Are you sure we should do that? And most of those work out to be, yeah, absolutely. I'm slow to change. We talked about that a little bit ago. I'm slow.
But do you let her, even if you're not ready to change, but you agree, you say, all right, lead it. You know, I'll get out of your way because I know you'll do
not
it.
Not at first.
Ah.
But much more now.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And how many years did that take?
38.
Way too many. Way too many. But that goes back to knowing your partner. There are times where I'll look at Dana, because I'm the one that moves it and shakes it, and I'm good with change. I love change. Dana change is a bad word. And sometimes I'll go and say, I need you to just trust me on this. I need you to just give me the okay, give me the support of this, you know, in front of the staff. But this is the direction we're going to go. And that's one thing. If you're a husband and wife thing, it's the same as having kids when you're at the shop. Don't ever let them divide and conquer.
Yes.
Don't argue an argument, a policy or whatever in front of them, because they'll work you right down to opposite sides.
Do you have kids working in the business?
No.
Okay.
No. Our kids, our son is a high school math teacher.
Okay.
And he's engaged. They'll probably be married next year, we hope. And our daughter's a second-year resident, so she's a doctor.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
So there's no kids in the business, but you bring up the kids factor because it really, home comes to work, work comes to home.
Well, in the shop, the employees, and I don't want to demean them because that's not what I mean here, but they're like having a bunch of kids. And, you know, you treat them very much. It's a very similar dynamic.
They may pit mom against dad and try to get their way
exactly.
with one. And
I'm sorry,
yeah.
I didn't pick up on that, but I get it.
Well, yes. It's like having a bunch of teenagers, you know.
Well,
every day
like,
is a surprise sometimes.
Yeah, some days they are. Like, we have two of our technicians, they like at 3 o'clock, they have their ice cream. So Judy has to stock the freezer with ice cream sandwiches. And
I'll be visiting soon.
Yes.
Now, thanks. Now we have to, because they're going to hear this.
Perfect. But it's something that the two of them, and the other two, they one is diabetic and the other one is lactose and gluten-free, so they can't partake. So it's kind of a weird thing. It's like, okay, do I have to do something special for them because I'm doing ice cream for these guys? And sometimes you have to just let that equal thing go, but you do have to have a united front on it's okay. Like my front staff, they don't get an ice cream break because they're working their little heinies off at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's like, you know what? So the guys work really hard in the back. They take a 10-minute ice cream break. It's all good.
You mentioned something earlier about that trust, and that was something that we struggled with at first because I had a career. You know, I was actually the primary breadwinner at that point. So I had a career, was making decisions on multi-million dollar budgets. And then I come to the shop, and Rob has no idea what I do, and I have no idea what he does. And so then it became that time where it took us time to learn to trust each other's to make those decisions. And I think each little decision has been a step forward, and so that builds more trust. And we're looking at making a big change right now that's going to be painful. And so we're talking to different vendors, and we know it's going to be very, very hard. But I think when I brought that change up the first time, you know, 8 years ago, he was a little more resistant to making a big change. And now it's like he's trusting, you know, I'm researching and he's trusting more. And so when I think time proves trust. If you mess up, then you go back and fix it and then keep going forward. But if we didn't go forward, we wouldn't be where we are now. And I think the other thing too is, after 2 years of us being in business and making changes with our WorldPack Smart Group and learning from others, we almost doubled our business. You know, we went from, you know, six figures to, you know, well over seven figures in just 2 years. So that builds that trust. Like, okay, we're moving in the right direction. So let's keep moving. And we never give up.
That's a big move, Rob. Were you equipped and ready to handle that kind of growth?
It just happened. And I sure did not make it easy for Kim when she came in. She was just trying to just feel her way around and see what her role was there. And we probably should have sat down and talked it out and just in the beginning and said, how we're going to do this, but we didn't, and it made it more painful for her than I think it needed to be when she came into the business.
I think I hear the words marriage counseling here.
No, when wives come into the business and say you're doing it in the background, you're doing bookkeeping, or you're not, or you've done with the kids, or older, or whatever, you decide that you're going to go in and join and be a partner, there's a couple issues that I think that us as women in the industry have to deal with. And you had said earlier about how you have to prove yourself to your employees that you know what you're doing. And then you have to prove yourself to your spouse that you know what you're doing. He's been doing it for how long, and I'm coming in and I've got all this experience in out of the industry. How do we incorporate that into the industry? So I think that you're absolutely right. I think that if you're going to bring that spouse in or have your spouse, you need to have those one-on-one meetings with each other, and you need time to think together. Dana and I do a Monday lunch every Monday, yeah. Usually.
Together,
yeah. We leave the shop.
That's great.
We go, we talk about, you know, what was last week, what do we want to do this week, what's on your agenda, what's on my agenda, what are we going to get done?
We talk numbers and employees and, you know, what's happening. Not that we don't talk that all the time, but, you know, we get more specific.
But it's a set time that's pretty sacred, that this is our time to talk about what we're doing, what we're having difficulties with.
You know
what
I love about that? When I think of pure partners, unrelated partners, they would want that discipline in their company because they don't spend one-third of their business together, one-third at home, and two-thirds away from the business. That's a great discipline because you can talk about work all day, you know, every day, every night if you wanted to, but do you then, because of your Monday lunch, do you kind of minimize work talk at home?
Oh, I wish.
Oh.
No.
That's a challenge. It is a challenge.
We have a rule that when we talk about one of the employees more than we talk about our kids, and now that the kids have grown, that's changed a little, but when we're talking about an employee and it's kind of like all the time, okay, there's probably an issue there and we need to address that and deal with it. And usually it means that you need to have a change.
We had kind of said it happened organically and it works. Is if we are, once we walk in the door, we actually drive separately. Part of it is it gives us a little bit of freedom to leave early or leave late and such. And we only live 7 miles from the shop. So we drive separately. But when we get home and if there's something to talk about, we ask permission. Is it okay if we talk about this? And there's plenty of times like, no. It's not. I don't want to. And so there's that respect. If I force a conversation onto him and it's not at work or it's not during business hours, it's not going to go well. And so, because he's obviously doesn't want to deal with it. And same, you know, can we talk about something? He's like, do we really have to? And we won't.
Rob, is it because you're looking for your downtime? You just need that break and you don't want to drag work back to home?
Well, I think if you don't set those boundaries that, it would never end, you know. You would never, you don't want to think it. Wake up 2 o'clock in the morning, and sometimes it can't help it. But I think to minimize that, you have to set those boundaries.
Because Kim would be up with her little logbook, writing down all her ideas from 2 o'clock in the morning that she wants to do the next day. Right?
I do that.
Yeah, I was going to say, so do I. So let's not be picking on our logbook at 2 a.m.
I don't.
I have a...
You don't do that, Dana, because no. You know Judy's doing it.
I have a particular style phone that I've had for about 10 years, and it's the note because it has a pen, and when you pull the pen out at 2 o'clock in the morning, the right screen comes up. So sometimes I can't read it, but it's there.
I can shut it off. I can say, all right, I'm done with that. I'm not going to think about that for a while. And Judy doesn't do that as well. So... That's where that comes
from. And there are times where Dana will say, okay, we're done. And I'm going, okay, we're done. And I'm good with that. I'll go talk to myself.
See, the positive thing, I see a commercial, something makes me think of it. I don't mind the positive things at all, like, oh, I'm going to put something in Google Keep on my list tomorrow or something. I don't mind those at all. But if we're talking employees or anything like that where there might be some friction between us or anything like that, that's really when, you know, the stuff that's more stressful and stuff, that needs to be more compartmentalized.
So ideas are good, conflict is bad.
It's best to yeah. Mm-hmm.
And do you take the disagreements where you're on opposite sides of an issue? It's only discussed at work?
Unless the other person is open to it.
Yeah, okay, can we talk about this tomorrow morning on the way to work if we're driving together?
All right,
but we'll set a time to talk about it.
But you know you got to get it done. You know you got to resolve it. You're not afraid to breach the topic. You just are looking for the right time and place to do it.
And be respectful of each other because, mm-hmm. you know, he physically and mentally is drained by the time he gets home. I'm mentally drained by the time I get home on most days. And so that being said, it's just having that respect. If he were my employee going to his own house, I wouldn't be calling him on the phone. So, you know, so that's kind of that respect of their time.
I feel pretty fortunate that, you know, if you want to call it friction or disagreement and so forth, hasn't been an overwhelming thing for us. And we do talk shop more than we probably should. We're about, I don't know, almost 30 minutes from the shop to home. There's a road that is about halfway. And we try to finish our shop conversations by the time we get to that. And then in the morning, we try not to get too carried away until we get to that spot and then, you know, kind of fire up.
It's a demilitarized zone.
It's the Mason-Dixon line.
Yeah, that's great. I love that.
And I'd love to say that we really hold to that all the time because we don't. But it's kind of a good spot to break of, hey, you know, let's transition a little bit to whatever we're doing next.
I think when you get to, and if you ever do get to a point of friction or disagreement or a decision that we can't come together on, it's so wise to go talk to other people. And that's where, you know, that's why I think that this, you know, husband-wife form, the group of podcasts that you have, is so important because you can hear other people. It's like, it's not just us. We're not the only ones that, you know, and it's nice to get out there and get to know other shop owners that are together working full time in their business that are married.
And to have that opportunity to ask other people or we felt it's very important to have some kind of coaching that's been very good for us.
Okay, so there's husband and wife driving down the road. They're going to work. They're listening to the show. And they're saying, I love this. Wow, this is transformative for us. How do I do this? What are the steps to take to build, to get inside of that husband and wife networking group? Or as Judy and I we did an episode yesterday, you're in an ATI all-female 20 group. And you weren't invited, Dana, right?
No, absolutely not.
Just checking to be sure it's all female.
Which is okay.
And it is. And so that episode will release post Apex 2, and it was fabulous. Thank you so much for being there. Where can the service professional husband and wife teams, even the husbands that have the wife in the business part time, where do they go get help?
As we talked on the podcast, it's a matter of you're working so hard in the business, you need to look up and you need to see what groups and organizations are out there. You've got many coaching programs that are out there. You've got the WTI that you're with, WorldPAC.
The WorldPAC Smart Groups, right. Yeah.
Yep, WorldPAC Small Groups. You got the TechNet Councils. You got the NAPA BDG Groups. Management Success.
Management Success.
Greg Bunch.
All of those. Yeah, Greg Bunch is now doing
Greg Bunch
groups.
Is doing one on right. MSOs.
Yeah. There's lots of things out there.
They're out there.
They are.
And you just have to, seriously, just have to look in your area and say, okay, who's a good shop? Who would I want to talk to? And we talked in the group the other day about how anybody that would call us, we would be absolutely honored and happy to have you come and visit and see the shop. We're willing to share.
It's not an open book shop.
That's a mile away, and we actually have, through our TechNet Council, gotten to know them fairly well. And we bounce stuff back and forth, and they're not competition. There's plenty of cars, you know. So to be able to join together rather than, you know, act like they're enemies is a huge thing.
So I loved part of the dialogue yesterday. Please join in, Kim and Rob, where you guys would be honored to have someone pick up the phone and says, hey, we'd love to come down and see your place, share some ideas. And we talked about learning to become humble, and you got to listen to that show. It was great. But my question to the group yesterday was, Do you think that the struggling service professional would accept a call from you that says, hey, it's Judy, let's go have coffee. It's Dana, let's go have coffee. You're waiting for someone to come to you, but could you guys as successful shop owners reach out to the one that's a mile away or in the next zip code and say, let's have coffee?
It's our obligation to the industry. I mean, we... Part of our motivation is to improve the image of the industry as a whole. You walk into our shop, it doesn't look like a regular shop. It's changing the industry. We owe it to the industry to go find those shops that are struggling because we were struggling. And when we found the WorldPAC group, I happen to be, it's a silly story, but I happen to be in a restroom, and I heard somebody talking on the other stall. And I was like, what are they talking about? You know, and so I was kind of, my ears, you know, kind of perked up, and I was, because we maxed out our credit card to go to that WorldPAC Expo in Anaheim back in the day. And, you know, we were at that point, we had come to the business, I'm working full time, didn't really know what I was doing, but I knew how to run, I knew accounting, I knew offices, I knew policies, procedures, I knew that, but I didn't know retail, I didn't know automotive. And so, I think we owe it to go out and make every shop better that wants to be better, and the other shops are going to fade away, and that's just going to improve our image of the industry. Absolutely. 100%.
Absolutely. You know, you have to make sure that you don't push yourselves on them, but it's kind of the when you're ready, the master will come type thing. It's similar to that of if there's somebody struggling and we can help, you know, to reach out and help is really an obligation.
One of the really good ways to do that, because to say, okay, I'm going to cold call one of my quote-unquote competitors is a little intimidating. But if you talk to some of your vendors or your suppliers and say, hey, let me know who's out there let's say you use Bolt-On. Who's out there using Bolt-On that may need help? Or who's doing the BG products and who really needs help? Who's struggling out there? And do an introduction that way. Or do a lunch or meet and greet or whatever. We're doing a one with our TechNet group where we're trying to grow the TechNet group, and we're doing a luncheon where everybody's just going to get together and talk. And that way you meet other people, and it's, as we said the other day, it's one change, one new relationship at a time. Just do one.
And we were very fortunate that, and this is about the same time we joined ATI, but maybe just a little bit before that, that we had another shop that was not too far away, and Stan Elmore. And he became a mentor. We went to breakfast with him once a week for, I don't know, a year or so. And he reached out, and it was really good for us to have that, you know, person. He ran a great shop, national recognition and all that stuff. And so now to have become that it's a responsibility now to pass that along.
What's so cool is that you guys went on to some really great national fame, too.
Well, yeah, we've been lucky.
Good.
Absolutely.
Well, I don't know if it's lucky.
We've worked hard.
Yes, that's what I mean.
And it's funny because people that ask me, like, ATI and how have you gone from, you know, the 800,000 to the 1.8 mil, and it doesn't happen magically. You have
no,
to work.
It's work.
You have to work at it, but you do. You may have a coach that calls every week or your group that you get together with, but you still have to go back to the shop. You have to put your list of to-dos together. You have to prioritize it. And I think the
most...
You
have to let Judy make some changes.
Yeah, let Judy make changes. And you have to make it happen. You have to implement. I think that's the hardest thing for most everybody to do. You go to how many classes and you're learning, but what are you changing? What are you implementing? And that's the hardest piece.
You know, I've interviewed so many successful shop owners, and I think that's one of the secrets. They're successful. I'll never be able to be that. And every one of them actually in the podcast tells the story of, you know, I was really not good. You know, your story is great. Everybody started behind the eight ball, if you will, but they looked in the mirror and they said, hey,
absolutely,
the person that needs to change is me, and I'm going to get help. I'm going to join a networking group. So I think the message has always been go out, get help, network, train, be trained, train others, and you too can go from 800 to 1.8, and your great success story, Kim and Rob. So any final thoughts or words to share with the industry about the pairing of husband and wife, a dynamic that we haven't talked about yet?
Make sure you recognize the other person's strengths, because, as I said earlier, what Judy does well, I don't. and what I do well, Judy doesn't. But be able to recognize that, and I'll let them do what they do, rather than be, you know, because you don't do it well, you don't understand it, or you're afraid of it or something. Let them do it, because that's what makes you grow and successful. It really does.
I would say to any couple that's out there, do either the DISC test or the BERT test or the whatever personality tests, and look at how the two of you really do mesh together, or how the two of you really don't mesh, and how do you figure that communication piece out? Because that's how you really make progress, when you're on the same road going together and not clashing over silly things like what picture to put on the wall or what's the logo going to look like.
It eliminates a lot of conflict.
It does eliminate a lot of conflict. And you know what mountain you're going to die on. And we don't really have any mountains that we've
not often
died on.
I love the discussion about personality tests or DISC. DISC is a communications style test. We've done shows on DISC, D-I-S-C. So go to the website, go to the search, any of the search bars, type in D-I-S-C and listen to those episodes. And there's an awful lot of discussion that does come up in the shows about knowing each other's communication styles. And if you're a high D like Kim is and Rob is a C, I mean, they're really opposites. And what in taking the DISC test is one thing. Then learning how not to have your conversation with Rob and Rob not having yours with Kim and finding her center ground and you finding his center ground is probably what has made you very successful. But it took time to get there. It took time to learn all of that. And there's help out there to help you bridge that gap.
And I'd like to, I was actually on the DISC podcast.
Right.
And it's important to know who you are and your skills, but also your employees, so that you can, you know, it goes bigger than just husband, wife. It's the, your employees, your customers, identifying those traits in your customers.
We have all of our employees take, we call it the Eagle Test because it's a simple, easy one. And it's, you know, a little more generic, not quite as precise, but it's huge to know how they respond and react, because that way you don't step on them, you know, when you shouldn't.
Rob, final word. I'm going to give you the final word.
Final word.
To make it work, just have your partner's back. Have your wife or husband's back. And
through thick and thin, right?
Through thick and thin. Just talk.
Wow.
I think respect is my big thing. And, you know, like I said, we're coming up on 25 years and we've had a great marriage and we have a strong spiritual foundation, a strong church that's helped us and all that. But then taking that marriage and putting it into a business, it was shocking. But don't let the business take over your family. Know what the business is meant for, why you're doing it. You're doing it for your family and your employees' family and for your customers. And that has to come together, and the marriage is more important than anything. And so if you're struggling, get help. Call me, call Rob, call Judy, call Dana, call us. It's not perfect and it's never going to be perfect, but if you need that support, that, you know, what do I do when? We probably, in the number of years that we've been working together, we've been through it. And we're still here. We're still married. We're on the show as married. So we're still home of our business. We might be doing something right. So reach out and ask for help. That was very, very
right.
Key.
We've probably seen it and worked through it one way or the other.
And you were kind of the lasting thoughts. I think that it's really important as a husband and wife to be able to look back and see where you've come from and what your progress and what your success has been. Because there are times where you're just looking at each other going, oh my Lord, so-and-so just quit. We're going to be doing this. This broke. This happened. And you need to take some of those times where you say, okay, but where have we come from? What have we done? I mean, Dana and I talk about that a lot. We've put two kids through college. We've helped them buy their houses. We have done some amazing things in this industry with our business. And you have to be able to look back and say, wow, we've done a really good job together, and celebrate those times.
And we're better together than we are apart. That's important too.
Absolutely.
Wow. Judy Dana Hagland, Hagland Automotive in Boulder, Colorado. Kim and Rob Auerenheimer, CS Automotive in Brentwood, Tennessee. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Kim and Rob Auerenheimer and Judy and Dana Hagland, for the experiences that you've shared with us and inspiring our industry's married business partners with your formula for success. This episode's key talking points can be found at remarkableresults.biz/E386 and also the bios of Kim, Rob, Judy, and Dana. Thanks for finding the time to listen and learn with the best context in the aftermarket. Nothing at all like listening to the emotion in the words. Hey, enjoy the day. We'll talk soon.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.